So this is the Pacifica Programming Committee meeting. Oh, we have somebody else getting on here. Hold on a minute. There was someone up there and then it disappeared.
Does that mean we don't have quorum?
No, we do have, I think we do have quorum actually. So hold on just a moment here. We're supposed to be starting. Sorry, Otis. Just a minute. Yes, that's right. All right. So I guess I'm going to go through the list here and see who we have. Anita Adams, I don't think she's here. Rachel Barr was not able to come tonight. Chris Corey?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Jim Dingman?
Here.
Sue Goodwin?
Here.
Ali Alexa? Thought I saw Ali. I guess he's not here. Philip Maldari.
Thank you.
Sean McPherson.
I'm in it for a minute.
Okay. Eric Ramey.
Present.
Akio Tanaka.
Yep.
Michael White. Vanessa Williams. Egberto Willis. Egberto's not here, but actually we do have quorum.
Excuse me, Heather Michael Heiss with an H.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. I'm going to take a look at that again as well. All right. So, just a moment here. So for the agenda, I have put three sort of items here that we could get into lengthy discussions about them. But one is what we talked about before, which is a national news program that Sue Goodwin brought up. And so, Sue, I'm going to ask you to talk about this again and share what that idea is and how we can explore doing something about this. Could you do that? Could you go into an explanation? Sue, I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Okay, good. Right now, you want to do that?
You're good. Let me start recording as well. I should have done this before.
Recording in progress.
Go ahead. So would you go into some dialogue about what we talked about before about having a national program, news program?
Okay, so the idea of having a national news program comes out of a sort of content motivation and an organization building motivation. On the organization side, I think that given overall, the decline in listening to public radio and membership across the spectrum. We need, and given how many options people have to access the type of content they want, we need to give them something to believe in, something they emotionally can connect to, which is Pacifica. And what's the best way to do that? Is it a national program? We should talk about it. Content-wise, what I envision is something that somehow we're pulling content from every station. Every station may not be present every week, but when you listen to this show, you're getting insightful, really interesting content on issues people care about right now. And you get a sense of this network in all of its geographic and other kinds of diversity. So you really get a sense of Pacifica. So the biggest issue is how to do it. And I must say, I'd love to have a subcommittee of like three people because the devil is in the producing. How do we do this so it doesn't turn into a full-time job or two for people? How do we do this efficiently? But the content is there. So if we can sort of figure out systems and routines, we can get there. We got a ways to go on that.
So as far as the national program is concerned, and actually we got a couple of people with their hands up, Jim and Michael, just hold on just one moment. I just want to ask quickly. So are we talking about, this is just a weekly show, right? It would be on once a week. Is that what you're saying, basically?
It should be. Honestly, it should be. If it's really going to attract a following and connection, it should be weekly. I know that's tough.
Okay, Jim, go ahead. Jim Dingman, go ahead. Jim?
Yeah. Okay. Now you can hear me, right?
Yes, we can. Yeah. Go ahead.
A very exciting person, Michael Heiss was part of this weekend. This guy, Thomas Patterson, is from the Sorenstein Center at Harvard. And he's actually involved in bringing a local public radio, because what he did was they did a study where they surveyed 250 NPR stations around the country, which includes affiliates of Pacifica, and they were talking about how you can meet the gap created in local news by the decline of print media, which has been going on historically now for decades. And they were, and Michael was there, I was there, I think, yes, Otis was there too. And we were having a discussion with him. And what was positive about it was, you know, he actually did a follow-up email with me. He said, Jim, I thank you so much. He really enjoyed talking with everybody. But we were thoughtfully trying to think about how you do this in the context of the situation right now. And what they're trying to do, now this is their strategy at Harvard, they're trying to, in the fall, bring in a whole bunch of fat cats who have expressed commitment to use their money. Okay, so he's talking about bringing in, you know, equivalents of the guy who created Craigslist, for example, who has a lot of money. Because the only way to really do this is you got to get a significant amount of money. He thinks that you need about $150 million allocated this to apply to it. So I personally think that this is something that Pacifica has to glom onto, because it's something that we deserve to glom onto, and he respects Pacifica. So I wanted to share that with everybody, because it was sort of a positive thing in the midst of all this nuttiness that we have to deal with constantly. You know, a little glimpse at the end of the tunnel there, if you will. But I wanted to share that with everybody because, you know, I asked him to please follow up. Let's be included. But it's something where he respected, and this guy is someone who's into fact-based journalism, which is my thing 100%. Not, you know, sort of off into la-la land journalism, which some people tend to argue for, more in opinion radio than in fact-based radio. And a final example was, I said to him, well, in your study, you analyzed each NPR station recipient there having a budget about $1.3 million, which in many cases is the amount budgeted for some of our stations, and they're talking about adding into that another 1.3, because they figured that the only way you could get it up to really have a good local news operation is to have a budget of about, what, 2.7, which again is something that even far less amounts of that, if you sprinkle it out throughout the system, would really help, because the only stations now that have this really is Berkeley. Sue, I know, is a news director there in PFW, but the other stations don't have that capability. LA has that, you know, show, which some of us, you know, it's a great community effort, but I don't necessarily think it's completely the way to go. But it's a good start. And New York doesn't have a news director at all, right now. We don't have anybody doing that. And, I think the financial problems are really at this point the most difficult thing to deal with. But I wanted to share that because that was a good positive thing on Saturday.
Okay, thanks so much, Jim. Sue, do you want to respond to that at all?
Yeah, a few thoughts. First of all, we have to assume whatever, if we do something, we can spend next to nothing money. I mean, we got stations on the verge of shutting down, so we can't spend money, but the content's already there. And I'm not saying it has to be a news department creating such and such. Every station has public affairs programming. So let's say we did it thematically, okay? So let's say I said, okay, this week we're going to talk about climate change and what people are doing about it. And I asked stations, what have you done recently on that topic? And let's say 5 PDs say, well, we did this last week, we did this 2 weeks ago. Do you get where I'm going? we're trying to curate our content, whether we do it on a theme, and every week doesn't have to be the same. It could be just this week's news, or it could be thematic. And what we're curating is the public affairs programming across stations.
Right.
So in an hour, let's say you average 4 to 5, 10 to 12 minute pieces. I mean, obviously we're going to edit things down a little, right? But you get my drift. It's sort of here's what Pacifica has to say about the Supreme Court this week. Or policing and race. I mean, there's different ways to curate the content, but I think that the point I really want to drive home is the content is there.
I agree.
And tell you just what, need to come up with the efficient system. I'm done.
Oh, no, Sue, thanks. I'm going to get back to you because I want, you know, your comments when people are speaking here. But I do want to go, we have we have three people with their hands up right now, but Michael, I think you were the first one. Michael Heiss, go ahead. And then Eric, we're coming to you.
Yeah, thanks. And for those of you, don't know me, I'm a member of KPFK. I'm theoretically as much as anybody is these days on the LSB. And at our last meeting, I foolishly volunteered to be on this programming committee nationally because that's something that I've done over the course of my life and I'm very interested in. I'd like to throw out a few random thoughts. Jim, thank you for arranging Professor Patterson because that was very enlightening. But when it comes to news, I, you know, take maybe a slightly parallel but different view to what Sue's proposing. It would be great to have a national Pacifica National News. And in fact, I think that that would be good if we could arrange it in a way that just like, you know, network news in any broadcasting form, since a lot of the stations, most of the stations don't have any news departments, that if you have, for the sake of argument, an hour or 45 minute news broadcast or even a half hour and you leave holes in it for local cutaways, that will build an audience for a reasonable national news and then give the, and promote it. I'm also into promotion. I've done that for many years. It'll give these local stations a way to, without too much effort, if they don't have the time or resources, to have local cut-ins about something local or an aspect of the news that was discussed as it affects those communities. Towards that end, one of the other things I was talking about, both within our own council and in Jim's meeting on Saturday, is I'm a big proponent, as I know we all are, of trying to lower the listenership age. And one way to do that would be to involve college, university, community college students, even STEM school, high school students. Out here in L.A., there's a magnet school named after Daniel Pearl, the Daniel Pearl Magnet Journalism School. And to engage with those people, and perhaps even through the NAEB, which is the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, to do a nationwide parallel effort to use the resources of students and have an adult in the room, because the last kind of thing, and I could get pillory for this, I could say, listen to the KPFK nightly news show, but please don't. They should get RFK Jr. as a listener supporter or Putin. There's no adult in the room. And best efforts notwithstanding, one thing that I would suggest that we really need to be careful of is that there is an adult in the room so that the content is viable and not too off the rails. It can be counter to the mainstream without being nuts. And the last part, and then I'll finish with that, is use having a local and national news feature for promotion. And I was going to add for the program committee that every producer of every program at every station, as part of their responsibility, should cut a promo, or as we used to say in the old country, the cart, to say, and tomorrow on so-and-so's show, we'll be discussing, not just or talking about, not just listen to me, but listen to this program so that you can build engaged leadership through promotion. Promotion, a lost art. Advertising is things that you paid for. Promotion is things that you get for free. And in the broadcasting, and I worked in the NBC promotion department for 3 years, a couple of decades ago, my job was to get people to watch a program once or maybe twice. And then it was on the program to build on that to keep viewers, or in our case, listeners, engaged. And I think that's a lost art around here.
Well, so thanks so much for that,
Michael. Take that for what it's worth.
No, thank you so much. And I need to tell everybody, all this is being recorded. And normally, actually, at meetings, when people are talking, we have them talking for 90 seconds. But I'm not doing that tonight because there's so much, I think, that needs to be shared about the possibility of a program like this.
Sorry for babbling on.
Oh, no, 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 no. Michael, you were great. Thank you. And I've got it all recorded, as I said, which is great. So, but Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Heather. Let me just say, Jasu, thank you for, being the point person on this. I think it would be really, really helpful if we set a target launch date and hold firm to it. That will give this a lot of traction, and it won't just be, being batted around like a volleyball. We get a firm start date, adhere to it, and we move from there. And I'm going to either ask a dumb question or have it as a dumb comment. I don't think we should, of course, I'm not going to do it right off the bat, but be locked into the idea of having this as only a weekly, as in one day a week. I mean, if it's really going to, if we can really tremendously grow audience if it's a Monday through Friday situation. I know it's ambitious, but it has that potential. But the main thing that concerns me is where we're, you know, I mean, somebody did mention bringing the affiliates in. We want to really get some Midwest penetration. The affiliates in Chicago, Michigan, and Illinois, I should say, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. It's no secret, Pennsylvania is probably going to be ground zero for the upcoming election. Wisconsin and Michigan will also play pivotal parts. So we definitely want to have a huge presence in those areas. And finally, I think that's it. I think I might have had something else that's going to come to you at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I really like us to get a firm launch date on this. I mean, and,
good.
Thank you. That's it. Thanks, Heather.
Sorry. Well, I wanted to ask everyone as well. It's like we have Jim and Sue with their hands up. We're going to come to them in just a moment, but just how does, I appreciate people's ideas and how what we're talking about doing here, how it compares to Democracy Now, which also grew out of Pacifica. I'm just putting that out there for possible discussion, but go ahead, Jim. Jim Dingman?
Oh, well, you know, the problem there is Pacifica, you know, in the case of Democracy Now, that got seed money equivalent to about $1.2 million. So that's the difference right there. We're starting this off with little to no resources. Both Malvo and her were given like $600,000 to get it off the ground. If the board had had its way back then, they would have had a couple of $1 million and they would have created about 4 or 5 different strip shows. So people forget that that's the context of how that show was created. The idea that, Susan has with the, you know, bringing up different kinds of people throughout the network, contributing for the theme, I think is a great idea. But in terms of what Eric suggested, to start really hitting the issue of this nutty situation we're in domestically, politically, with the races starting, and Pennsylvania is a great example because that will be ground zero, as will the Midwest with some of the things going on, I think is really good. And to get the affiliates involved with that, is also good. And I think a ground zero date is useful to do because that way we get the shit in gear. Now, another thing to me is important is that podcast initiatives are also to be supplemental. Okay. This is, I'm not saying, you know, what we want to do here with a national news show, it will require financing at some point. We'll have to get staffing in there. But podcasting can be used to hit more specialized issues. For example, climate change. I don't tell you, we're living through, like, who knows what's going to happen. I just saw somebody talk about, how the swirling of water in the Atlantic start getting up. They were bringing in movies like, that terrible film, The Day After or something. One of the films was talked about New York being flooded. So these kind of things are really, really, heating up. I don't mean that to take that with a grain of salt there. And at the same time, the issue of the young people to me is extremely important. Michael suggests the college and this and that. High school kids, frankly, because that's where we want to get these kids who have these social media and digital skills that we do not have. And we will let them dictate the pace of the issues that affect them as part of this. So I think that'd be very important as we get this sort of initiative off the ground to have teenagers involved in the process and have them intermix what they have learned with all their far, far better acclimation to the digital tools, combined with, you know, some of us old farts here who can at least help work with them as equals and guide and make a really interesting, robust effort.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Interesting. So go ahead, Sue.
Yeah. Someone asked, how is this different than Democracy Now? And I've been thinking about that. And of course, Democracy Now is all original content. I want to be very clear. What I'm talking about is not original content. As much as I would like that, we do not have the resources. I do like the idea of the local cutaway, but as term as what we produce, we don't have the money. But what we are doing, again, is we are curating and showcasing what we already have. So, for example, today, they announced the Emmett Till Memorial. Okay. I would put out a question to the stations and I'd say, who covered the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act in 2020? Do you have a good archive piece? Again, how do we creatively mine the depth of content we have, whether it's in the past week, did someone do an interview with Tony Bennett at one time? Do you get what I mean? There's probably, every week could include a deep archive piece, right? The limits are our imagination because we know the content is there. I don't envision creating new content because how the hell would we pay for that?
Right. So what you're talking about is using content that's available at all the stations that we have, right? That's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. Right. Exactly. No, that's good. So did I interrupt you or do you have something else you want to say?
I'm done.
Okay. I know you'll be back, but.
Probably. I'll mute for now.
Okay. Michael, go ahead.
I think that's Michael White. So.
Yes. Michael White. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think we discussed in our previous meeting how Democracy Now! Is as a breaking news focus, and we're talking about curating segments that would be evergreen, that would not be breaking news coming to it afterwards. So that's different, but it's a good question to ask about Democracy Now! And our programming, because so Democracy Now! Has a big if dwindling audience, and they are also competing with us in about 15 other internet venues, bypassing Pacifica. But but they have a big and loyal audience. And there's still a lot of brand identification, but, Democracy Now! also has very, very high negatives due to its drift over, and the way in which it's becoming very similar to, you know, for instance, Rachel Maddow in too many respects. I think Big Ten, you know, it's not a good answer to, deal with those high negatives by kicking Democracy Now! Off the air. But we really should have a counterpoint to Democracy Now! That's not the show that we've been discussing, but we should have something that deals with all of the misinformation and the bias and the slant that makes Democracy Now! So much like the corporate media these days. And I guess I might differ with Jim Dingman a little bit on this, that people who know what they're know their facts and know what they're doing can do very good analysis, which can sound like opinion radio, really isn't. It's just giving corrected facts. And you can riff off that. We could do very, very well with a program that would come on regularly after Democracy Now! And we know that one of the things that really attracts an audience is debate and radio wars between programs really do. You know, so where you get a difference of opinion. I do want to say that I think Michael's suggestion that we have adults in the room and a program with Robert Kennedy would be really good. I think, you know, he is so solid, and Children's Health Defense is now pumping out about 8 hours of content every day, which is really, really excellent. And their audience is growing by leaps and bounds compared to, not compared to us. Our audience is shrinking. Their audience is really expanding, and they've really captured a huge part of the market. And they're very well integrated into the other successful podcasting programs, which we are not very, there's a lot of alternative media that is doing very, very well that we should be studying. And we are not that well integrated into that environment. We've gone off into a bubble that's sort of old fashioned and is not where the audiences are going.
Well, thanks for that, Michael. So let me just ask Sue, your hand is still up. Did you mean to keep it up? Sue Goodwin? All right, she's not responding. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I do not.
Okay.
Okay,
see
thanks.
What I can do. Lower hand.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Sue. I'm sorry, Sue. God, my brains are fried. Heather. I just want to, for propriety's sake, when I mentioned RFK Jr., I think, and I don't want to get into a debate, that the people doing the alleged news show at KPFK have drunk him hook, line, and sinker. He deserves to be heard, but there deserve to be alternative views, which is why I would like to raise the issue of, you call it a news program because, you know, it's in that general category, but I think it would behoove us to make certain that we talk about news versus analysis versus commentary. They're three different, albeit related things, and we need to have all three. Yeah, I don't want to get into the RFK Jr. thing because that'll totally derail the call, and that's clearly not my purpose. The adult in the room is somebody to be, if you will, the editorial supervisor, non-biased editorial supervisor. When I proposed that once during a KPFK meeting, I got shouted down and called all sorts of not nice things. because I was asking for editorial supervision over the news show, which it clearly doesn't have. And they said, you know, what do you need that for? And the answer is, you know, go off the rails. So I concur with Eric on all, many issues. And I want to go back to the hookup potentially with educational programs to see if we can get a place in the Midlands, in the Heartland, in Chicago, in Oklahoma, wherever. Their views don't necessarily have to agree with us. They just have to, in the immortal words of Senator Moynihan, you're entitled to your opinions, but you're not entitled to your facts. And that almost might be our motto.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. Thank you, Michael. All right. So I see, Michael White, your hand is still up. Do you mean to have it up still? Michael White?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to keep it up, but, yeah, I'm glad that, we've got a station that's, heavily broadcasting, RFK. I think that's where the, we're going. So, and in fact, I think that's something that's well worth getting into. But, and I think he is the adult in the room. So I don't know, how to get a moderator to, you know, a non-biased person because, you know, I guess we know that there's no such thing as non-bias. But I understand the aspiration.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Excuse me. May I respond to that for a minute? 30 seconds.
Okay. 30 seconds.
The problem with KPFK is that it's all RFK Jr., anti-vax, you know, blah, blah, blah all the time. And what we need is a balance, a properly balanced, a set of opinions labeled as such. The science is not a, you know, I'm sorry to even go there. But you can debate the science, but then there are the facts. And if we went all anybody, whether it's RFK Jr. or Dr. Fauci or I don't give a damn who, you have to have facts that are balanced or opinions that are labeled as such or commentary when it is discussing the news. Otherwise, we're just going to be laughed out of town.
All right. Thanks. Eric.
No, I'll just say it as quickly, as briefly as possible. In terms of, I mean, there's two ways to do this. It can be a $10 million production, you know, or we can do this effectively on the cheap, by affiliating with the academic community, for better or for worse. I'm not necessarily talking about Texas A&M. I don't know that much about the University of Houston, but the media department's there. I'm sure there's kids. I mean, eventually at some point, it'd be great if the kids would get credit for this, but the college community could play a huge role here. And I'm thinking of like UC Berkeley, University of Chicago, possibly NYU, and in the DC area, probably Howard University. I doubt we can do anything with American University because that's Diane Rehm country. But the kids in the college community could play a huge role in this. I mean, I'm sure they'd line up. They'd anxiously be willing to do this. We'd have more volunteers and the capacity to accommodate all of them. But that's where the void can be filled. I mean, of course we would filter it, but that's my input there.
Oh, interesting. Thank you. All right. So. I thought we had another hand up. So, gosh, do we have Jim Dingman? Jim?
Yeah, but I wanted to suggest that we, well, for example, like just to follow up on what has been discussed, an 18-year-old just won the Folk Award, a kid at Stanford who exposed the president of Stanford University for being a fraud. And, you know, things, yeah, doing research on that person. So here we have a teenager, obviously very bright, who did something quite remarkable and won the Polk Award for it. And that gets into the question of younger people, because I know that what I'd like to also be able to do soon, because I know you have an agenda there, Heather, And the next issue I think is extraordinarily important, to talk about the audience question. But all these different ideas are not incompatible with each other. I mean, the fact that people disagree, I tend to agree with Michael on these issues, Michael Heist, but also Michael White with the idea of having these opinions being expressed. Yeah, totally. It just is that the proof is in the pudding in terms of what the audience numbers are. We just had the NES reveal, the amount of paid listener members at each station. And I do not have to tell you that if those of us who look at it and examine it, it's a dramatic reduction, in particularly Los Angeles, a 50% reduction in terms of listener members for whatever reasons we want to say, has caused that. And one of the things I personally think has caused that is just the perpetuation of not questioning the grids and allowing for years shows that have nobody listening to them to simply multiply these impacts to the fact that now you have, probably, maybe 30 to 40,000 people tuning in a week to KPFK, same with BAI. The same numbers would apply to KPFT. I know that the actual numbers there with the, insights, radio insights about 100,000, but I always question those numbers. And the same thing has happened in the Bay Area, a diminution of membership. So people have to keep in mind that what we're trying to talk about is ways to jumpstart the whole operation. And yes, unfortunately, it has to be done on the cheap. And I would suggest that we were supposed to set up, you know, a little committee to work in between the meeting times. I would suggest that we get that, set up tonight and then figure out something along the lines that Eric said. Yeah, let's get a target date and get the show on the road. But again, keeping in mind that we're now operating with these additional, emergency pressures that are, no, New York, forget about it. It's all hands on deck. And, again, due to the inappropriate attention to these kind of questions for several decades.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. So Sue, I know your hand is up. I think we need to explore if there seems to be, I don't think there's opposition on our committee for doing this, moving forward on this. We need to explore where do we go from here? I mean, what do we do? But anyway, go ahead, Sue, whatever you want.
That's what I want to address. And I still think there's some difference of sentiment about are we doing something that's using content we've already broadcast and how recently, how far back do we go versus creating new content. I'd like to start with the reusing idea because that's what we can afford to do. So, right. Heather, what I want to ask you is, next step, I think what we want to get to is let's come up with a rundown. A rundown, and I'm not sure, I'd like to talk about what's the most efficient way to know what stations are doing, either in general news this week or a particular issue. Then let's come up with this is what this could look like. I'm not saying we actually produce the hour, but we sort of come up with a rundown that uses archive content, I'll call it for short, and see if we like it.
Okay,
Let
me ask you a question along that line. Do we need to identify people in the various Pacifica stations who could help us with this? What do we do?
I think we need a point person at every station. I don't know if it's the PD. I don't know if other stations have news directors. And then we put out, okay, this is what we really got to nail down. And maybe we have a grid, a shared grid, right? So, what are some interesting interviews you did this week on these topics? I'm still thinking this out in my head, but how do we collect the content ideas? How do we collect the availability of content? How do we curate that content? And how do we come up with a rundown? We can do that.
So what do we do?
let me just jump in. I think those are great ideas, Sue, and that I would also broaden it to the affiliates because we never.
I'm not ready. I agree. I'm just not feeling right. It's overwhelming. How many are there?
Oh, there are 200 of them. But,
I know. Can we just start small? But, you know, I agree with you completely. I think it'll make it a much more exciting pool of content. It just feels overwhelming.
Well, we can include the affiliates, of course, but let's just start with Pacifica stations first, and then we'll move forward.
Is that okay, Jim?
Does that make sense?
One reason why it's not affiliates, for example, the New Mexico affiliate, they have about 12 or 14 paid staff. So there are some of them that are as big and actually bigger in terms of paid staff than our stations. And so you never know what, because these are guys that are also NPR affiliates. So you never know what kind of stuff they have down there that could be supplied to a major news show. Plus, in the case of that station I'm thinking about in Santa Fe, that's in an area which is a contested state in terms of domestic politics, along the lines of what Eric was talking about earlier. And again, who knows what's going on in our affiliates in Pennsylvania, Ohio, the Midwest, in other areas which have relevance to the domestic politics and the presidential race we're in. You never know what we're going to discover. But I hear you, Susan. It's like candy over sizzling.
Right now, we're just trying to come up with a template. We're trying to imagine what this could be like. So to me, I'd like to start with the Pacifica stations and figure out a system. I agree with you. Tapping into affiliates makes, I mean, imagine what some of those stations have on immigration.
Oh, yeah.
Must be incredibly powerful.
Exactly.
Local voices, et cetera. But we're at the beginning right now.
All right. So at the beginning, so give us some steps. You already talked a little bit, but let's just go over that one more time.
Let's see.
We need to identify people in the various individuals in the various stations, Pacifica stations. Is that right? So you mentioned them.
Yeah. And I think what we need to decide is, you know, I think what's going to be easiest right now is to sort of, as I say, we're going to create a rundown. What could a show look like? I think it's going to be easiest to approach it topically as opposed to what just happened last week, if you follow me. So let's choose immigration. What has your station done? How do we reach out to every station and collect content? And we say, what has your station done on immigration most recently? And is there any powerful content you've done in the last year or two that you want to draw our attention to?
On immigration? Okay. I mean, on
immigration. I think if we choose a topic, it's going to go easy for the first time.
Okay. Choose a topic. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That.
We're trying to figure out systems and routines.
Okay.
So if we, and again, I'm not sure, is it the PD? I'm not sure, but say we're collecting content, interesting public affairs content on immigration. What have you done recently? And is there any powerful archive content you want to draw our attention to? It's
okay.
Something
right.
Like that.
Okay. Mike, hold on just one second, Jim. The thing is, as far as the Pacifica stations are concerned, how do we identify individuals where we ask the question, so the programs are, how do we do that? Or do people on, actually, folks on our committee might already have some ideas along that line. Like Jim, well, at WBAI, who do we ask?
I might ask Linda, but one thing that's the Susan mentioned. But I think to make it topical is we're going into past, easily acquired best of. The themes should be as fresh and newsworthy as possible. So for example, climate to the heat. Okay. Who's done the best pieces on the heat wave? Who's done on whatever are the breaking news mantras of think that that's some way to organize the content being acquired from these stations. In other words, that's the issue that is right in front of us in the mainstream media, but then we are able to demonstrate by bringing in depth pieces from a station in the past, the diversity and strength of the network, which is indeed fact.
Okay, well, thanks. Well, actually, We've got a couple of other people with their hands up here, but Sue, do you want to say anything else about some strategy on who we contact on the various stations?
I mean, well, I agree with Jim. Linda makes sense. Isn't it the PD?
The program director. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah.
Presuming that the stations have them. I'm not kidding.
That's a good question, actually, because I know all affiliates don't necessarily have program directors, but so.
KPFK has no paid anything.
Well, the person doesn't have to be paid, Michael.
But they don't have a program director either, so it's okay.
Yeah, so we're talking about someone who has knowledge of the programs that have been aired at their particular station is what we're talking about. Isn't that right, Sue? Basically.
Okay, so step one, identify a person at every Pacifica station for now. Pacifica affiliates, yes, but not right now. And so who's going to identify those people? Let's do that in the next couple of days. Number two, let's come up with what are we asking them for? And who's going to make that decision? So we probably do need a subcommittee of three people, if not more, who will decide that. We've talked about making a topical request, you know, but let's fashion the request. Number three, let's fashion the way in which they submit content. Is it a Google Doc? You know, what?
That's a good point.
Yeah, so how are people going to submit the content? Actually, once the content is submitted, we know what to do then. But let's get through those three steps.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we've got some other people with their hands up. Michael White, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, because it's come up a number of times in the background of this conversation, we've made references to what's been referred to as the national election, and then there's been references to certain states being critical in terms of this national election or whatever. All of this seemed to imply to me some kind of investment in an endorsement of the duopoly, or the, you know, what's been referred to as the uni party. And then, given that you know familiarity with Pacifica, I think what we're talking about is that there's sort of an assumption that we're talking about people who identify as being on one side of this color war between the blue and the red, and that they identify as being, you know, the blue people. And the people who are actually playing the color war, who are blue, are a very small sliver of the American public. That's not where people are at. You know, we've got a country that largely doesn't vote. We've got people who refuse to identify as Democrat or Republican. And the people, the media where the ratings are going up are the media that are stepping aside from this polarization. And, you know, there are people who are tuned into that. So, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., for instance, has said that the purpose of his campaign is to move away from the polarization. So I think we're playing a small game, and that we are actually putting this up in our as the background of our conversation, steering ourselves into a very small game if what we're talking about is playing a small sliver blue team game or something like that. You know, that seemed to be what was implied with, you know, highlighting the supposed importance of this state or that state in terms of what's going on in this country.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Michael. So we've got some other hands up here. We've got Eric, Irene, and also Jim Dingman, but I just wanted to mention, and I'm going to go to all of you, but I just want to mention Akio and Chris. Corey, you haven't said anything yet, so. So, if you get a chance, if you want to share your opinions, please do so. Okay, Eric, go ahead. Eric Ramey?
Yeah, hi. I was muted. I had some fire activity
trucks, whatever. I mentioned about a launch date a while ago, but I think it's equally important not just a launch date, but to have a launch person. And I think the networks generally refer to these people as executive producers. And at the risk of sounding facetious, I mean, I'd hate for us to approach the affiliates or the other stations and ask them, what do you have in your archives about this and that? I'm thinking a better approach might be for the executive producer, who I guess should be named or designated or would come forward sometime in the next 2 weeks or say, as opposed to what do you have? We would say to them, or have the executive producer say to them, can you put together this type of piece and get the ball rolling from there? I mean, we don't want people to go looking in their attic and their basements to, and of course they come back and say, well, no, we don't have anything. But we want to be proactive about this, and it strikes me that might be a good starting point. Not so much assigning them or micromanaging them, but just formatting and saying, this is what we're looking for this week and perhaps next week. Can you go there?
Okay, well, good. Thank you, Eric. Am I interrupting you, Eric?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm glad somebody tells me to shut up here and there.
Thanks for your comments. So we have Irene and Jim Dingman up, but before we go to you, I just wanted to ask everyone as well. I mean, I think all of us are agreeing this is a good idea. I just think it's excellent. But do we need to get the approval from the PNB before we move forward? If anyone could comment on that, I'd appreciate that as well. Irene, go ahead.
Actually, Heather, that was the first thing I was going to comment on.
Oh, thank you.
The purpose of a committee such as ours is that we have a meeting, and our next step is to make a recommendation to the larger committee. So our recommendation should be to the larger committee that this is something that we need to back and go forward with. That was my first thing.
Thank you.
So I'm good with that, and we can make that motion at any given time. I will make it once I finish my comments. But that would be our first step.
Okay, thank you.
The second thing that I wanted to say is, I would also like to add, if we're going to point of contact at a station, we're in a very unique situation where we have both a program director and a public affairs director who I believe oversees talk and radio and talk and news. So we need to reach out to both of them and see what their opinion is and what their input is. So we have two here at WPFW, and that would be the way to go for that particular thing. And
okay.
I am like all for going forward with this. This is something that needs to be done. I was very interested in it from the time that it was mentioned, that it should be something that should be done. And we just need just different opinions out there, not just the information that comes out from corporate news and paid news. We need different opinions out there so that other people have a view. Other people can see that there are other people with views. So I'm good with this. This is like, let's go, y'all. Let's go.
Yay.
I'm happy.
All right. Thanks, Irene. Appreciate that. All right. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Let Chris go ahead of me.
Chris, go ahead, please. Chris Corey.
Sorry, I was muted.
No problem.
I just wanted to do a follow on what Irene said. She's right. The role of the committee would be to submit recommendations to the PNB. And so we don't need prior approval before constructing those opinions and recommendations. And I think, you know, in fact, I think the PNB relies on the committees to do that, because there's so much going on at the PNB level that it would be like impossible for them to undertake a close examination of the kind of topics that we're discussing in this committee. In any case, I think this committee is kind of coalescing around the idea of having a national program, and I'm entirely in support of that. Unfortunately, I have another engagement this evening at 7 o'clock that I have to drive to. So I'm going to have to leave here just in a couple minutes. In any case, I just wanted to say that I support the idea of coming up with a motion. Since I can't vote in absentia, it would be nice to be able to actually vote on it, but I don't want to risk slowing it down if the committee feels that it's compelling enough to move it forward quickly. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Sure.
All right. Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Yeah, if Irene comes up with a motion, great. Let's do it.
Can I do it now so we can get my man there to vote to? I make a motion to recommend that we move forward with, recommend to the PNB that we move forward with this initiative.
Okay, good. We need to describe what the initiative is, right?
Okay. That as described by Sue Goodman, we have a, yeah.
Network newscast.
Yeah. Network newscast.
I'm going to have to, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't think a lot of people agree with what I think it should be, so I'm not sure I should be part of this. People really want to create a show that's new content, which I can't be a part of, but that seems like, well, that's what people want.
Well, I think that.
Hold on a sec, Jim. What do you mean by that, Sue? What do you mean by that?
Well, describing it as reaching into the drawers and, what I'm hearing is a show that actually sounds very fresh, but it is using content that's already aired. And again, I say this, I am painfully aware of how much time and effort it takes to even create 5 minutes of original content. We don't have it unless someone's got the money and volunteer effort to do it. We don't have it. If we ask stations, okay, we need you to produce some content on X.
Can I restate my motion?
Then we can't turn it down. I mean, we got to take what they give us.
Can I restate my motion?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Wait, we've got people talking over each other.
Okay, I'll shut up.
Can I just restate the motion? I make the motion to create a national program in a public affairs newscasting. It's going to take a little more time to actually formulate this. I know that, but I think that in order to move this forward, to be so technical about it might be beyond this particular session right now, but we all agree that this is what is needed. And so that may be the recommendation. Now, after that, we can needle down what it wants to look like, but we just need to get that out there to the PNB so that we can even move forward on it.
All right.
So how does that sound to you, Sue? I'm sorry. I know where there are people with their hands up. I'm going to come.
I think that's well stated. We don't know what it is yet. We have a lot to work out. What we wanted to do is we want to suggest a national program that draws in part from content that has already aired on Pacifica stations, may involve new content, but it is an opportunity to showcase the news and reporting muscle of the Pacifica network. And that's right. What we want to do. It's something like that. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Let me suggest reporting. The National Programming Committee of Pacifica proposes the creation of a new news and public affairs show that will be eclectic in form, but will attempt to utilize the strengths of the network as it exists now in producing the shows that we intend to implement. Some along those lines. Eclectic allows us to, you know, we have differences of opinion as expressed. Michael feels that Robert Kennedy, I have no problem with Robert Kennedy being on at all. I just am also, you know, the issue of the duopoly and all that. Yeah, I can buy that. On the other hand, I'm also someone trained in political science. I'm also trained as a political reporter. So I do not ignore or go into wanting to talk to people as voters in Pennsylvania. You know, we can go into looking in these issues in ways that are way beyond what the mainstream media does and actually goes back into the strength and roots of Pacifica over decades. That is not approaching an issue superficially, but going in depth on it. So, and that includes bringing in opinions that don't agree with each other. So, you know, I would put the term eclectic because that allows us to have freedom to do anything we want.
Okay. Thanks for that, Jim. And I do want to mention, yeah, Michael, I'm coming to you in just a moment. I just want to mention to everyone that all of this, as you know, is being recorded. So what I'm going to do, after we finish this, I'm going to transcribe a lot of this and share these ideas and then we go from there. Somehow, if we don't come up with some firm decision on anything else. Go ahead, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, while we're composing the motion, and not to, again, throw it off the tracks, and I'm not as familiar with the inner workings of the PNB and all that stuff, but if there's a way to add in there to air nightly on all Pacifica stations, and the reason for that is, do we have to separately request the PNB or the ED or, you know, some unknown spiritual force to have the program aired? Because I could easily see a station saying, yeah, okay, that's nice, but I don't want it because it doesn't, you know, I don't want to do it because I don't want to do it and I don't like it. And it doesn't work unless we have all five stations agreeing to do it. Otherwise, we're just funning ourselves.
All right.
So I ask that that somehow be worked in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. We have Michael. And I just want to mention before, Michael, before we go to you again, I just want to mention we haven't heard from Akio Tanaka. Akio, sometime I hope you'll share your opinion about that.
Akio can be indicted.
All right. Go ahead, Michael White. Go ahead.
So, so we've had a couple of descriptions of what the resolution may say, the last being Jim's, which was a very long description, especially when you got into the very long parsing of what eclectic might mean as included in the resolution. But so I want to point out that we are here now where we were close to the end of our last meeting, which was that we had a feeling about passing a resolution and we had no definition of the program that was going to be described. And one of the things that was suggested in our last discussion was that the break between meetings be taken to draft a proposed program description, or essentially a pitch, the way you would pitch a film script if you were in Hollywood. It doesn't really have to be much longer than a paragraph. We really had, in our last discussion, we got a good way in terms of defining a lot of our decisions and thoughts. And I've heard us rehash the same things and decide the same things over again in this meeting. I just wonder if anyone sat down to put the program description that we had worked up in our conversation last time into a paragraph that we can then reference. And I'll apologize. It was my thought, that I would get to something like that myself as part of the work on the committee, but I didn't. I had things going, my mother died between the two.
Michael,
just so things were just totally wiped out of my brain in terms
terribly sorry to hear that.
Yes,
anyway, I'm just saying that it would have been useful to have done that between the two meetings, and then we would have really something to work with, because we foundered on the rocks of not knowing what we were going to say, and I don't think so far we've got a good description of what we're talking about. And we can't just say whatever, you know, as Sue said, we can't just say, well, whatever Sue Goodwin says, you know, and she, you know, she's right about that.
So Sue, was your hand up? You put it down?
Yeah, I took it down. I'm trying to remember. I think I was going to say, I love the word eclectic. Whatever we write, I really want to make sure showcase the Pacifica brand has to go in there. Right. And then it's an eclectic collection of content responding to the most recent news, but also sharing some of Pacifica's coverage that offers insight that something, something. You get where I'm going? So I think we need to blend the ability to cover the recent with the deep, you know, archive that we have to offer insight to the issues we're looking at today.
Well, thanks so much for that, Sue. Again, I'm recording all this. I could send the recording out to everyone, but I'm going to work on writing out some statements based on the comments made tonight, and then get back and get that to everyone. Before I go to Michael and also Jim Dingman here, I'm hoping that we can, before we end this meeting tonight, that we can discuss item number 2 that I sent out on the agenda, which is how we can promote Pacifica programs altogether to build a listenership, such as with articles and so forth. Some of that is expressed in what we're talking about doing here, I think, as well. But Michael, did you have something else you wanted to say? Your hand is still up. Michael White?
Yes. I want to do a note. I've heard in a couple of the attempts at describing a resolution, the word but used. So it's ba 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 but ba 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 ba. And the admonition about using the word but is that but negates everything that came before.
Okay.
I think that we're having problems with our description if we don't come up with descriptions that are based on the word and. So I think we really have to be, it indicates the conflict in our own thinking when we're having to use the but. I mean this, but I don't mean that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right, Jim Dingman.
Well, I would suggest that we simply pass a resolution tonight that could go up to the PNB. There would simply be stated, the Pacifica National Programming Committee recommends the establishment of a daily news show, news public affairs show, period.
It's impossible to do this daily. Come on, Jim.
Hold on. Well, okay. Well, hold on, Sue. Then change it to that a national news show, news public affairs show, and all the issues that we're talking about that we should have flushed out in the past couple of weeks, we can flush out in the days to come. In other words, all these different ideas that we have about further explicating what it should do at blah, 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 what we think it should do, try to reconcile some of the differences we have. But I would just say something that the Pacifica National Programming Committee recommends: the creation of a national news and public affairs show as soon as possible, or something like that. So we can get the show on the road and then flush out the definition of what we want to do with it. The other issue is the must carry question, which was raised by Michael, because at some point, you know, a lot of people, you know, oh, I don't, you know, you guys are doing this, we're doing that. Well, we don't want to carry it. And that's a good question. You know, the issue of must carry is an interesting issue to throw into the mix there, because some stations will say, well, we don't want to do it for X reasons. Well, frankly, if we're going to create a national news and public affairs show, I personally would argue it must be a must carry. And that's the whole purpose
that's
of having.
That's a good point.
Yes.
I'm interrupting.
I would just say a simple statement, and then we can flush out the definition of it, in the next few weeks with us doing what we should have been doing, which was meeting to get this flushed out, before this meeting occurred.
Okay. Thanks. All right. So, Eric, go ahead.
Hi. I find it quite disturbing. It's like a lot of times in these meetings, we have very productive, intense discussions and negotiations about we're going forward. And then invariably at some point, there's an 1100 pound gorilla in the room, this George Orwell type figure called the PNV, who we must go to. Right. And it seems to it's like a vortex suddenly shows up and all the energy is just sucked out of the discussion. I'm not saying that, you know, I brought that up, but going back to the other point, I'm almost on board with the notion that it's an all or nothing. All five stations must do this. Realistically, it can start out without all five. It should eventually evolve to all five, but it can start out as simply as what they used to call in the old days, test marketed here, still as a network type product with input from all five stations and gradually expand or rapidly expand to the other five, at least to another four. But, you know, if it starts as a product on just a single station, we kind of eliminate this need of huge micromanagement by Big Brother or Big Sister in Berkeley.
Okay.
And I'm not saying they're an evil bunch, but it just, thank you, Heather.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So Michael and then Jim, Michael White, go ahead.
Yeah, this might be somewhat related, but I just want to remind us that we are a committee of the board, and we're not management. And so I hearing, you know, we can, you know, this committee can later flush out details about the programming. And in some of our conversation, we've been talking about, like, well, who would the particular point person be at this station or that station for doing such and such. It's our job on a board level to deal with general policy, general good ideas, etc. The flushing out of details and a lot of the, you know, how exactly are going to be done. It's up to us to think whether it's practical, whether we're making a practical suggestion. So the how questions are worth considering in that respect. But in the end, you know, these things are going to have to flushed out with real people doing real jobs. And that's, you know, it has to be done at the management level. And, you know, we're not going to create this program by ourselves. You know, we just can't. We don't meet often enough and we don't have, you know, that kind of management expertise or, you know, granular, you know, knowledge of the granular details. So we've got to remember we're only, you know, to act as a committee, what a committee does, you know, we're not actually part of management setting this up.
Okay. Thanks for that. Okay. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Well, several of us on this phone call are directors. Several of us on this phone call have indeed produced nationwide shows. I know I have, I know Sue has. So it's not like we don't have experience about this. Number three, the last time we had a discussion about national fundraising, at least this is my opinion, that got sort of skewered because people started to make the distinction between this issue, that is that the meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee was 2 years ago, to raise money for the archives, and then we left it to the GMs and PDs, and then somebody decided to choose a premium that had been used many, many times, hence it was unsuccessful. So I don't necessarily defer completely to the wisdom and judgment of the paid staff as if they have the solution to everything. I don't agree with that opinion. So we certainly have the ability to suggest things. The Muscari issue, I think the issue of doing it at one station, I think Eric is right about that. It'd be easily to implement. And then the objective would be to aim it to the public. Aim it to the general public. And this gets into the issues that Michael raises. The question of forward promotion. I remember some board members in New York thought I was coming up with harebrained ideas to argue about forward promotion, which to me was quite insightful because it showed to me how little many of the people involved in governments know about broadcasting, to even bring that up as an issue. So it could probably be implemented in one or two stations initially, probably New York and KFW perhaps. And I'm not saying, I could speculate, and then aim it out in a different way. And then, of course, the problem of who's going to be the person editing this and putting together, another problem where maybe we would need to get some seed money of some type to pay for somebody to put that together, an executive producer, if you will, or producers. But it's not impossible to do. The issues that we raise in terms of all the different opinions we have, I just think we should throw the gauntlet down. Let's get the show on the road, and we can flush out, again, these differences of opinion as we progress.
Because, that makes sense.
Again, if our market is aimed at the general public, we want to reach a mass audience with these kind of products, if you will, that we're creating. We're creating new content, new products. And as far
right,
as I'm,
then, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah.
You're finished? Sorry. I thought you were ending there. So you're okay. Finished, right? Okay. Thank you. All right. Good ideas. Michael, I'm coming to you. I'm hoping that before we end this, I know people are getting off now, the call some, but I'm hoping we can just talk briefly about how to promote Pacifica programs altogether. But at any rate, go ahead, Michael.
There I am. Sorry. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm out here in LA where it's my turn to do dinner tonight and it's almost 7 o'clock. So if we're going to have a vote, or at least is it appropriate to just have a consensus, if that would pass for a vote? It was the consensus of the, PMB program committee too, because I need to bug off, but I don't want to miss a vote. And I think the topic of promotion is such a huge, and I agree with Jim, is such a huge topic that's at the core of why we're so messed up now, is we don't do any promotion or any viable promotion, that be scheduled as the topic for a separate meeting. But if there's something we're going to vote or consensusize on, I'd like to do it now so that I don't shirk my responsibility, because somebody's going to come in here and grab me by the neck in a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to mention, okay, so Irene has left the meeting now, but she suggested a motion, right, that we present to the board. Does everybody remember? I didn't write it down. I'm going to have to listen to the recording. But was there any opposition to that? Does everybody agree with that?
I don't agree with it.
Oh, you don't, Eric. Okay.
That wasn't Eric.
Oh, who was that?
That's Michael White. I don't think we have a definition of what we were talking about, so I don't agree with it.
Oh, you don't? Okay. So we have to come up with something. So anyway, so how do we deal with that? I mean, we have one. Is anybody else opposed to it?
Nope, it sounds like it needs some fine tuning.
Okay,
I could be wrong, but
okay, all right.
It doesn't sound like anything that can be finalized in 5 minutes.
That's something we can present to the board this week, then. In other words, probably.
Rather than do it in haste, maybe we should just put it off. I think Eric is correct.
Okay, Sue Goodman, go ahead. Sue, Your hand.
Just wanted to say, I saw your
okay,
hand.
Okay, I want to speak to the idea of promotion. I'll try to be brief, but I have another idea in my head, which is what if, and you probably received this from other organizations. What did you miss on Pacifica this week? And this is an email people get on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? And it connects, each station gets to choose what they want to put on that. There's a little graphic, there's a play button, and you can hear something from every station. Again, promoting the brand, again, it would take some time to put it together, but to me, this strikes me, it could be a promotion tool.
I agree. Makes sense. Okay, Michael White, go ahead.
I would endeavor to refine that. You don't want to say, what did you miss? Because if it was really good programming, and if it was attracting attention, it was self-promoting, then it's
okay.
The program that you are least likely to have missed. So it has to be something more like, what was on Pacifica this week that you
okay.
want to make sure not to have missed?
Yeah.
That's good. Is that, did you want to say anything else, Michael?
No, I just, to say, what did you miss, and then take the best stuff and say, you must have missed the best stuff is just, I think it requires that refinement.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Jim. Damon, go ahead.
Well, I think we've argued this issue about a national programming, now for about, we argued it in the previous iteration of this committee, and we argued it on and off now for several months. So I do think, the definition can be flushed out, but we are prepared to send to the board, that we recommend the creation of a national news and public affairs program. And that's enough. And,
okay.
And I think that the board, the board will understand that there's our differences about how to interpret this, but, the key thing is to, and I have no doubt that the board with its present mood will agree to something like this as an idea to be passed and get further worked out. I know, there may be people opposing it, but we'll see. Because of the situation at all the local stations. But I personally think that, we've argued this again and again and again, and that wording in and of itself is enough that we all agree on. So let's pass it, send it up to the board, certainly work on getting the, nature of what it will be in specifics worked out in the next week or two. If we have a subcommittee meet, we can further flush it out, but I just assume get the show on the road, get it in motion, and have it begin to be something that people think about.
Okay, so
I would call the question.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just calling the question. Is there any opposition to that from anyone?
Yeah, I oppose it. I oppose it because I think that fails to incorporate the progress that we've made. We've decided essentially that we know that this is not going to be new content. This is going to be curated content. This, evergreen content. This is going to be sort of a best of. It totally leaves all those concepts on the floor and doesn't give any guidance to the thinking that we did, most of which I think we did very well in the last meeting. So I think it would be good to put together a proposal that really does incorporate the progress that we've made in a lot of this thinking, including, last meeting we discussed the whole, must play issue and how that would be handled. So, if we would just write this stuff down, we wouldn't be retreading in the same water.
Good point. Okay.
Yeah, but well, let me oppose that. I think that none of this diminishes or puts aside the kind of points that Michael say. I'm just saying a general statement, and all the other things that we know we're discussing, because these are the kind of same questions lots of other people would bring up anyway. Even if we came up with a precise definition, there'd be people coming up with different approaches to this. So it's a broad statement, but I think it's sufficient to put it on the radar screen, and then we can further work it out. Because we've been talking about this now for almost a year, and so this is ridiculous to not be able to at least move forward with it and send it up to the PNB, because the PNB has got lots of things to think about. Something like this could just come up, and then we could come back in and we could fill it out and start talking about implementation with all the kind of discussions and nuances that Michael suggests.
Jim, repeat again what you think we should present to the board.
Pacifica National Board, the Programming Committee of the Pacifica National Board recommends the creation of a national public affairs news program. Period. And recommends that show be created or will be created. And then we move forward from there. And then we can start to talk about the tactics of it and the form of it and the nuances of it, which obviously, you know, I'm in complete accord with Sue on, because it has to be done on the cheap. It has to be done initially the way she's talking about, given the resources that we have, the lack of resources. But I just say let's get it on the radar screen now.
Okay, so Michael White was opposed to that. Am I correct, White? Michael?
Yes, I am. Okay. And
before you go into an explanation, let me just ask, is there anybody else who's opposed to it? Oh, so there's one opposition. So I would say, Michael.
Heather, this is Eric. I'm opposed to it. I will support the motion. I'm not totally on board. I'll support it. That's not the question you asked. I don't know if that's the correct answer.
Question.
I'm opposed to it, but I'll vote for it, just like our colleague just said, so we can get the show on the road.
Okay.
I mean, I'm tired of sitting on the runway, you know, in this takeoff position. I agree.
So, but anyway, out of all of us who are here now, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 2 that are opposed to it.
No, one.
Only 1 opposed to it, right. Okay. So I would say that this is passes then. So let's move forward and getting something before the board. So is this something we should do this week or later on? What do people think? There is a meeting this week, right?
I don't think there's a meeting this week. We should do it in the next meeting. But all the points that Michael raises are 100% I'm in agreement with. We can sort of, in the interim, have a subcommittee of this committee meet, and we can hash that out. I bring everybody in, Irene, everybody. We can sort of get the wording, further develop it, and think out what we want to do, blah, blah, blah. And then for this particular project, but we at least get the show on the road.
Well, thanks for that, Jim. I was just looking at the schedule. Yes, there is not a PNB meeting this week. So, all right. So yes, we'll do that then, you know, although I didn't hear everything you said because I was looking at the calendar, but I've got all this recorded. So we'll move forward on this.
And next week we're going to have a strategic planning committee anyway. And this is something I think that all of us on the strategic planning committee, most of us would agree 100% with do something.
All right. So I want to could we just move on just for at least one other item here, which is how we can promote Pacifica programs altogether to build listenership and so forth. Could people just share some of your ideas along that line? I'm sure that most of you do have ideas along that line. Does anybody have anything they want to share about that?
I just want to throw in, I apologize because then I've got to leave, for which I also apologize. Forward targeted promotion on air for each station, mandating as best we can that each programmer, as part of their responsibility, provide a coming up next when blah, blah, blah will be blah, blah, blahing, because you need to promote what you're doing rather than talk about what you've done or who you are. And with that, I wish everyone a good evening.
Oh, good point, Michael. Thank you. Thanks. So we'll see you later.
Yes. Yes, you will.
Thank you. Heather, yes, go ahead.
Heather, we passed a national motion on this. which again, I was amused that some people in the local station in New York thought was like completely authoritarian, which was ridiculous. Again, it showed me how little people in some cases involved with the broadcasting institution of Pacifica is, know a damn thing about broadcasting. But this is something, or promotion issue is very important because it's easy to do. It doesn't cost a damn thing. It just requires instruction to the individual programmers to, you know, identify consistently the who, what, when, and where of what they're doing, which a lot of them do anyway. But at the same time, introduce to the listener who is listening the next show's coming up.
And yeah, good point. Exactly.
You know, in some stations, this is considered, you know, some sort of like weird, and I find that ridiculous.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jim. Michael White, go ahead.
Yeah, yes, there's a lot of basic good habits that could be better inculcated, and forward promotion between shows is a good example. But for instance, we also have shows that don't have the good practice of, you know, when they start out, they don't tell you what's going to be on the show or why you should keep listening. They you know, and they'll have a guest on, and you don't realize that that guest is not going to be on for the entirety of the show, and then they'll have another guest on, and you didn't know they were coming. And so there's a lot of basic good habits that should be promoted, taught. People need to learn them or whatever. But that aside, we need to be more engaged, and, you know, part of the news ourselves. We need to be in. We're too much in a bubble, and so you can listen to our stuff and stay in the bubble and never have a reason to get out. So, you know, I've pointed this out before, but, so for instance, there was one point when, you know, Tucker Carlson had a show and Jon Stewart had a show. They were both doing somewhat okay, but when those two guys started, having a squabble with each other, and taking on each other and challenging each other, the ratings for both those shows went way, way, way up. They got a lot of news coverage, a lot of other places. So, you know, maybe you didn't know who Jon Stewart was very much, but now you had a reason to read about him a lot more in the New York Times. You had a reason to read him about more than the Time Magazine, the Washington Post, or whatever. So, we think of ourselves as, reporting on the news, but we should recognize when we are on the verge of being in the news or when we are in the news, such that people are talking about us because of what we're doing. Now, I'm going to just, you know, tell you that this is something that, Jim Dingman and I disagree on. But at our last LSB meeting, WBAI has multiple program hosts, different programs. A number of our programs where the program hosts are on the Ukrainian government sponsored kill list, which is up on a NATO internet site. And, you know, with all of our money going to the Ukraine and all of our money also going into these specific operations, this is news. You know, taxpayer money is being used to say these WBAI hosts should be killed, and we are not putting that out. You know, we are now part of the news, and we're keeping that news under a bushel or whatever. We're pretending. So we're missing a zillion opportunities like this. Actually, you know, when it was proposed to the LSB that we use this for publicity, And this is only an example of one kind of thing, but it's a very, very good example of a, you know, it should be a really high profile. I mean, it goes right to the issue of free speech, which we call ourselves Free Speech Radio. That's our mission, right? So, it's, you know, right, you know, what should be ringing with, our listeners and supporters and the kind of thing that should be causing people to donate more and to talk about us. But instead, we had a board that even though they were given this information more like a month in advance, didn't even bother to investigate the issue. Wow. To familiarize themselves with it. You know, and the idea, I don't know how many people in this meeting know that, you know, so that a large number of our WBI hosts are on the Ukrainian government's kill list, but sponsor the kill list that they sponsor and they, you know, is done by a division, you know, that's essentially part of the Ukrainian government. I don't know how many people know it, but if you guys don't know it, then that's an example of how we are failing, because this should be a sensational news. And, you know, and if we were trumpeting it and putting it out, it's the kind of thing that would be picked up a lot of other places.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for that. So, everybody is just, I mean, the knowledge that people have of the various stations and stuff at the programming is always so impressive, I need to say. So I think we've essentially ended our meeting today. I hope that's okay with everyone. I know other folks have been getting off already. So I'm wanting to thank everyone so much for your comments and so forth. And, I'll be transcribing, this recording this time and get information out about what we talked about, where we want to go from here. So, and Sue, thanks for your ideas on all of this as well. So I just want to thank everyone. I guess that's it. We are adjourned.
Good night.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks.